Welcome to the Messy Middle podcast that follows one mom's journey to build a profitable business while navigating the challenges of life. I'm your hostess, Anita Anello, and I'm here to share wisdom, insights, and stories that will empower you to make confident decisions, take actionable steps, and break through the mental barriers that hold you back. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Messy Middle and our podcast today. I have a guest, Maya Gutka, and she is the executive coach. She has a podcast. And as we were getting going and talking and getting to know one another this morning, one of the things we talked about is this program that she has that she coaches clients through, this 10-year vision. So somebody goes from a corporate space and has some expert knowledge and wants to transition over, she actually walks clients through a very interesting process that we're going to talk about today. So welcome, Maya. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for having me, Anita, on the show. It's such a delight to be here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So how about we start with a little bit of your background as we get going, and then we'll dive into the conversation.
Sure. Okay. Well, I'll keep it relatively brief and you can always ask me a bit more, but I started my working life, I started as an economist. And at some point I was lucky enough to be part of a very fast growing team. I became a young manager leader myself. I got access to a lot of incredible leadership development. And that's when I realized that's the direction I wanted to go in. I thought, gosh, this stuff that's interested me in my personal life for so long is happening in the corporate world. And so I started making this very, very slow and gradual transition into the world of executive coaching, leadership development, and all of that stuff. And I started life at Goldman Sachs. I moved to PwC, KPMG, and then I took the leap to London Business School, where I really just kind of got my wings in terms of leadership development, and then eventually was in a position to go independent. And so I've been an independent practitioner, building up my own practice, moving into a more entrepreneurial space for the last almost 5 years.
Wow. That's awesome. I love that. I love that. As we dive in today, you'll notice that a lot of the listeners that are drawn to my show are same kind of thing. It's ladies in a corporate space at an executive level who've worked for big global organizations, have been super successful. And now they have this idea, this kind of like this unnerving, what I call this God-sized idea. It's almost like, I have to do something a little bit different so I can have a little bit more time and money freedom. Maybe I want to be more intentional with raising my kids, or I just have had a great career, but I want to transition over to the entrepreneurial space. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about this 10-year vision that you were describing to me. Just share for our audience, what does that look like? Where do I start? If I were going to come to you and have you coach me in that process, where would we start and what would that look like?
Yeah. And I just, before I dive into that, I just want to pick up on that, what you described about that big kind of God-given vision that you start to have and this feeling that you get. And, you know, I really resonate with that. And so I'm so pleased that that is something that people come across. And I don't know if it's just in the air this year, but so many of the clients that I coach, because in the corporate space, I'm often just coaching like high flyers that they're doing really well and they're going to the next level and the next level. But increasingly, they will be starting to talk to me about these future dreams and saying, yeah, there's something there that's coming up for me. I had these conversations with some friends about this stuff. And so I don't know, I just feel that there's something in the air this year in particular. But anyway, that's just an aside. So coming back to your question, what do people do? So having done many visions now over the years, what I started to notice was that my corporate clients, who are these high achievers, they're often really good executors, logical, analytical, they're good at all of that stuff. When it came to the 10-year vision, they were struggling a little bit to dream big and to almost have that leap of faith and say, okay, they were telling me, but I don't know how to get there. So that can't be the right vision for me. Whereas actually part of doing the 10-year vision is that I want people to suspend belief a bit. And I give them my example, which is that more than 10 years ago now, when I did my 10-year vision, I was lucky enough to do that, more than a decade ago. I didn't know the how. The maths didn't add up in my vision. It literally didn't add up. But I didn't know what the world was going to look like today. I didn't know the direction technology was going to evolve into and the things that were going to be possible. So when I'm working with people now, I actually take them through, I have a little bit of curriculum, just 3 to 5 hours worth of kind of self-work that I get them to do, just through some videos. These are their building blocks for feeling confident that they are looking at the right things when they're constructing this. So it includes things like their signature strengths. So not just the things that they're good at work, but those real unique things that light them up. Their zone of genius. So not, again, not the things that perhaps are rewarded in the workplace, but those things where they know that they're in that space, they're almost like it, they've got an unfair advantage. They're kind of untouchable. Helping them kind of uncover that stuff. But then also I take concepts like Cal Newport, who talks about rare and valuable skills, because we've got to be, I guess, in some sense, pragmatic. Like often they want to be able to make money, right? Like they want to be able to make money for this. So we want to know what those rare and valuable skills are that are going to be lucrative, that are going to be income generative. So we also go through that process. So I take them through a number of things, but I also have things in there like manifestation for logical thinkers, because believe it or not, my corporate clients, sometimes they will, even though I know we talk about manifestation a lot more freely nowadays, for some people, it's still seen as woo-woo and seen as something that's not for them. So I take them through a bit of the science of that. And at the end of that process, they feel confident that there's no stone unturned, in the sense that they're not missing something vital in constructing this vision. I then actually walk them through a little bit of what we discussed earlier, which is that ideal morning, and take them through probably to the end of the working day. But we really focus a lot on that morning. There's a lot that you can find out from just that morning piece. And we do a few other exercises as well, such as once they've created that vision, they then need to take a look. They kind of do an empty chair scenario where they look back at their past self. Okay, it gets a little bit technical, I guess. And so once they've done all of that, once they've got their vision out of their heads onto the page, and they feel like they've been able to create something there, we then do a one-to-one intensive. So then I sit down with them for 2 hours, and we really take, because often in that process, they will have noticed there's some knots, or there's some dilemmas, there's some kinks that they're like, oh, but you know what? These two things came up very strongly for me. I don't know how to reconcile them. And that's when I can hold them, and we can sit there, and I can say that, actually, no, don't worry. I've got some ways that we can make this work, and give them that faith and give them that confidence. And during that process, that 2 hour process, we typically, it depends on each individual, but we typically go from that 10 year to more of a 3 year plan. So that, because that is something we can, we can predict, we can kind of see what the world might be like in 3 years. Well, nowadays we might say actually maybe not, but you know, there's a little, we can, with a little bit more confidence, we can make some more concrete plans. And so then they can walk away with those real tangible steps of, okay, you know what, instead of going, you know, along my journey like this, I've been nudged up into this direction. And I know that over time that's going to build up and accumulate. And in 10 years, I'm going to be here rather than here. So they feel really confident. Yeah.
I love what you're talking about, because really what you're saying is I'm helping people see what's possible.
Yeah.
And sometimes we kind of get our own blinders on. We can't get past ourselves. But when we work with a coach and we're willing and able to invest in ourselves and go through that process of receiving coaching, then we can break through those barriers, those limiting beliefs, because a whole lot of the entrepreneur journey actually does a lot of like head and heart work. That's what I found. Like the mechanics of the business are not that difficult, right? That's a small percentage of what we're talking about. But the head and the heart stuff, the limiting beliefs, the being able to dream and see what's possible, that's where a lot of the hard work, the heavy lifting gets done. And so I just love what you're talking about, because I can imagine myself sitting with you and going through this process of not just writing down everything that's possible, but then working through those kinks, working through those blocks that I'm wrestling over here. I'm not really sure how these pieces fit together. I can't see the actual how, and the how is what's helped me be super successful in my career in the past. And so I don't see how I go from here to there. So I love what you're talking about. The other piece that I love, Maya, is being able to make money along the way, because let's be real, like we're all in business to be able to do what we do. Like I know in my experience was I was able to triple my old corporate salary, which was pretty healthy to begin with. And so then being able to have that and work half or a quarter of time of what I used to. So the element of being able to say, how do we take those zone of geniuses, those areas that really just light our hearts up, and reimagine those in a way that help us to be able to provide for our households and experience abundance and success in completely different ways, but also similar at the same time. Like, I love what you're talking about. It really resonates with me and with the audience today. So I thank you for that. So
thank you. Can I just respond on a couple of things that you said there that really resonated? One was that first bit of saying, sitting alongside someone. So you do the work. So these people are competent. They can go away and do the work, right? They're not going to just kind of, but then when they sit there with me, I am their cheerleader and I am there to say, to challenge with positivity. So to say, wait, hold on. Let's check whether that really is impossible. I have a feeling there's a way, and actually be that really supportive challenger. And they want me to get off the fence. They ask me, you know, do you think that I can, you know, do this? And mm-hmm. and they know that I'm going to be honest, because that's two of my things, that I'm direct and honest, right? Yeah. So they kind of they know that I'm not going to just go, look, you know what, the entire world is possible. They know that there's some pragmatism there, and yet it's the right amount of stretch for them. So that's one bit that I thought, you know, you said, like, it definitely is part of my job to be that sort of really the cheerleader that they can trust, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And then the other bit that you were saying about, you know, being able to make money out of this. So, you know, one of the things that comes up repeatedly with people in corporate space is what a great resource they're already sitting on by being part of these amazing organizations.
Oh yeah.
And so, so we think about not just the networks, but the fact that there can be a future client, or often that they can start making that proposition work inside their current organization. So I've had a couple of people recently with more sort of entrepreneurial ideas who have managed to get their first client from internally. Right. Yeah. Now, the monetaries of that can look different. You know, it might be that they get time to do that inside their organization, but it's perceived a value enough for them to have time. But the point is that they're getting some validation of how that can work. And so I do think there are some unique opportunities available often for the high flyers in corporate spaces when they're thinking about this stuff.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Also, when you and I were getting to know one another and doing our intro, you had mentioned to me that sometimes we have this sense like, I'm in this job, I don't like this job, I got to get out of this job. I have to get out of this space to go somewhere else so I can breathe or whatever. But what you just mentioned, Maya, is recognizing that the gold that might be already around a person, and not in a weird, yucky, salesy, like mess around with your NDA kind of way or anything like that. But let's dig into that a little bit. Like, how do you help clients be able to walk through the process of recognizing, like, I'm actually in this space, I'm sitting on this gold mine of potential, just even connections or what I call opportunities to serve, so that it doesn't turn into this weird salesy, awkward kind of a situation. But let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Let me just give you an example. I had somebody who was, she knew that her next role was going to be some sort of a CEO type role, but she was in a current role, which she was doing really well, but she found the environment a bit toxic, and she was not in a good space in terms of, you know, not enjoying the start of her week, etc. But it turned out that part of her role had a real kind of media facing element to it. And when we did the 10-year vision, we realized that in that future 10-year, she wanted something a lot more autonomous, where she was a bit of a thought leader in a certain space, and that she's known as an expert in these particular areas. And so actually, the opportunities were underneath her nose, and she was being asked to do this stuff. But obviously, the being bogged down in the various challenges at work meant that she wasn't necessarily prioritizing that stuff. That was under her nose. Mm-hmm. Now, with the clarity of this vision, suddenly she realized, she said, you know what? Yes, I might be biding my time waiting for this new, you know, opportunity that I hope, you know, will come, but I don't need to be miserable in the meantime. I've got amazing stuff on my plate that I wasn't even seeing. And I'm going to start doing that stuff, which is actually part of my job. I'm going to start doing that first thing on the Monday morning. I'm going to feed myself first. So this is something I talk about a lot with clients. Like, how can you start feeding yourself first, right? Yeah. Doing it earlier on in the day or the week where your energy is fresh. Nothing changes. You're still going to get the important work done because you're high achievers and you're competent and you're accountable. We don't really need to worry about that. the stuff's going to get done, but let's just put some of that vision stuff early on. And it was a complete transformation for her, because now she actually brought a different energy to her entire week. And we know that even sometimes that shift can make so many other positive changes around us. So that's just a little example, because I will sometimes get people sort of saying, I just want to hand in my notice now. Yeah. Like, you know, I just want, and I kind of say, look, let's just hang out in this. It's okay to be stuck, and it's okay to be not that happy with where you are right now, but let's not rush this, because we, like you said, there is a, you know, like we're not trying to be salesy or, you know, mining a space or anything, but there are resources there that you don't want to regret later on that you didn't, you know, make the most of. So let's not rush this process, and let's get more comfortable with what you actually want so that you can see those more clearly.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I'm just so excited to have this conversation with you today. This is so awesome. So one thing that I'm also hearing as we're talking and getting to know one each other and just sharing more of our hearts about what we do is I found that when I was in the corporate space, it was really difficult to find other women around me who would be champions. Mm-hmm. Where instead in the corporate space, what I found it was there was a lot of competition. Like I can't share with somebody else. I don't feel like women support me. I feel like I have to kind of like tear off all the things where I'm made as a woman to be good in these areas, and bring more of like some more masculine traits to the corporate space to be successful, to be a go-getter, to be a leader, to be, you know, in an executive role that's really a high achiever. But what I keep hearing, kind of the undercurrent of what you're talking about, is really being able to champion other men and women, but specifically women, to build a space, to build confidence with one another, to cheerlead each other and champion each other, to be honest with one another and use wisdom in our next step. So I love all that energy that you're bringing to the table today. I so appreciate that, because sometimes I think that's hard to find. It's one of the things in our community that we really cultivate and protect is women cheerleading and championing other women. And sometimes it's hard to find, like I'll just say that. Yeah.
I've had a mixed experience, and I actually coach men and women. And I really enjoy coaching both men and women, because sometimes I see that there are blind spots that where men really need, they really need to be, you know, and I actually contract and say, look, I'm a feminist, and they'll say, oh, for now, increasingly people say, that's why I chose you, because I want that perspective. So,
right.
You know, that, so that's really important. And I would just say my personal experience is that I've had real mixed experience. When I was initially trying to move into the coaching space, I experienced a lot of rejection and a lot of blockages from other women, unfortunately, mm-hmm. who were being mm-hmm. very territorial about their space. Yeah. But I, you know what, I don't necessarily genderize that. I kind of say, you know what, some people are supportive and some people aren't. When it came to making my big leap from the corporate world into independence, I had so much support from somebody who had done something very similar. We'd both turned up at London Business School and said this was our dream job. And she had gone before me in taking that leap to go into freelance work at that time. And she really coached me through the process. And it was challenging. And it was, you know, there were a few kind of things about it that I struggled with, and having somebody to sort of really coach me through that was important. And I guess sometimes when you have that experience, then you want to do that for others. So I always want to make sure that I do that for other people as well.
Yeah. Ah, that's powerful. I love that. Okay. Let's break down a little bit. You said something earlier that I want to dig into a little bit more. And it's really kind of what I was hearing about what you're describing is when a person is sitting in a role and there's potentially opportunities, kind of like you said, right under their nose. How do you hang out in that space and kind of be able to just prepare yourself for the next level? So what I hear under that, Maya, is a plan. So I love that. When I retired early from the corporate space, I was an executive at a global software company. And one of the things that it was a process, right? I didn't just quit and leave because I was the breadwinner in our household. So my husband was always like, oh my gosh, we can't do this. What do you mean? You know? So we'd have these conversations, but what we did is we came up with a plan. And so that's a lot of what I'm hearing is you're helping people to walk through a plan that says, I'm here right now and I want to move over here. So what are the steps that I need to take? Because I think one of the most challenging things we can do is all of a sudden get fed up and say, that's it. I'm just going to, you know, quit my job and figure that out. Because oftentimes when we're successful, we have risen to a certain level of success and income, and we have maybe, let's just say, maybe beautiful home and nice cars and a lifestyle that we have worked really hard for. And what we don't want to do is give up that lifestyle to then all of a sudden, you know, as an entrepreneur, there's absolutely the opportunity to work twice as much as you already do right now and make almost nothing. And so we don't want that at all. So maybe you can talk to us a little bit more about the plan that we help other clients craft their specific plan. Because I don't think it's necessarily, I don't think everybody has the same plan. So what would that look like if somebody walks through with you, like the plan to be able to say, I'm going to transition from one area to the next?
Yeah. And like you say, this is the beauty of one-to-one coaching. It is so, you know, personalized and individual, but some principles that I think probably are valuable generally are, one of them is, I think what you just described is, we can get very impatient, can't we? We can suddenly, that once we realize that we want to change, we can suddenly want to maybe throw out the baby with the bathwater, and we can want to do that big, grand, bold gesture. And unfortunately, it still happens. And I still hear of people that this has happened for, and maybe they have sufficient financial cushion that that's going to be okay for a while. But realistically, what I want people to think about is, this is probably going to take you longer than you thought, and that's okay. You know, I don't want to sit here and say, you know what, you can have that overnight. No, like, let's get really happy where we are today. You know, let's enjoy our current lives. And often, even as you were saying, doing the 10-year vision process, we can sometimes realize that we have things going on today that are really in line with our 10-year vision. And often what clients will realize when they're doing that vision is, like, say, actually, a lot of that is already in place. And, you know, by this stage in your careers, once you've had a certain part phase of your career, because I do the vision as a full work life vision, it's your whole life. Mm-hmm. There are going to be some really strong elements that are already in place. And even just dialing that up and realizing that can help people to appreciate where they are today, because we want to be happy where we are today. And another part of getting happier with where we are today can be boundaries work. It can be assertiveness work, and it can be about getting some of that stuff in place at work so that we can start to, if we have been overworking, or if we have been perhaps a little bit more relaxed with some of those boundaries and now it's coming at a real cost to us, we can actually establish a lot of good well-being, you know, just by revisiting those. So I will do that work with people as well, because we want to be okay where we are. Like, we want to be happy with that and yet know that there is a new direction, and that it's these little, often what I call them is high leverage a step. So what are those things that are going to really make that disproportionate difference? But they're not going to be easy steps, in terms of, it might be putting yourself out there online in a way that you're less comfortable with, or it just needs that bit of cheerleading, which is why I say I want to be there as a coach, because there are easy steps that we can take, right? But they might not be the ones that have the biggest impact. So I want things that are low effort. They don't need to take a lot of your time and effort, but they probably require a bit of courage. So having certain conversations, being okay having some of those more challenging conversations. Sometimes people are feeling quite anxious about what they want to share at work, in terms of, you know, what those steps are. So we think through some of that practical stuff. And then often, once we've done a lot of the vision work, and once you've done a lot of the here and now work, the three-year plan can often really just kind of fall out quite in almost quite an organic way, because we do know, like I said, we do know what 3 years is more likely to look like. It's so much better than 1 year. Often in 1 year, we can set a whole set of goals, and it's not that we didn't work hard at them. It's not that we didn't, it's just the outcome. We can't control outcomes, right? And so sometimes the things that we want to happen, and I've certainly experienced this over my career, I almost tell my clients now, the moment when you won't be wanting it so much and craving it and desiring that thing, that's the moment when that outcome will probably emerge for you.
Right? Yeah. Yep.
So I don't, have you experienced that, Anita? Yes. You're laughing, so I'm wondering. Yeah. So yeah. Well, once we can, I think it takes a few rounds of that to realize that that's how life works, right? Yeah. You know, when we want the thing so much and we kind of all behind it. And then actually sometimes when we have more of that detached awareness and that detached commitment, that's when things actually start to emerge. So I also encourage people to be okay with that. But what we don't want to take no action, because if we take no action, then we can guarantee that nothing is going to change. So I kind of like to balance all of those different things. I like to balance the, let's be really, really patient. Let's adopt an air of patience here. I'm a huge fan of Cal Newport and his recent book that's just come out, Slow Productivity. Mm. And he talks about massively extending timescales on which we want things to happen. And when we do that, you might think, oh, but you know, we're go-getters. We like results. We like things to happen. Actually, we get to live our lives more while still taking the right steps in the right direction. So I'm quite a fan of that type of an approach, slow productivity approach.
Mm. Wow. That's amazing. One thing that I noticed in my own career and some of the work that I've been doing with my own coaches, I always felt that I won't be happy until, and whatever that goal was. And what I did unknowingly at the time is I kind of left all my goals like right beyond arm's reach constantly. And I, as I started digging into this and realizing like, wow, these goals in like all these different areas, it was goals in my career, goals in finances, goals in marriage, goals in raising kids, like all of these areas in my life, I have kind of adopted this mindset that I'll be happy later when these things happen. And so it really was difficult to acknowledge that and then recognize like, oh, wait a minute, what I'm doing is I'm actually robbing myself of any of the joy that's all around me right now. And it's been a process of being able to recognize like, actually, I'm okay right now because, and recognizing, I just have been studying and reading. There's a book I love Cal Newport. I haven't read the Slow Productivity, but
it's come out. It's brand new. So yeah.
Yeah. I've read his Deep Work book and I absolutely love that. There's also a couple of authors, Dan Sullivan and Benjamin Hardy, that wrote The Gap and the Gain. Right. And that it's kind of like that recognizing, if I'm living in the gap, which we all do at some point, then everything's essentially, I'll just summarize and say, everything's not enough. And that can think how that can work out its way in my marriage and my kids and in our homeschooling journey and in my work life and all these other areas where everything's not enough. But if I also recognize the gain, the flip side of that is, yeah, but look how far I've come. Maybe I haven't hit the actual goal that I wanted yet, but look at the progress that I've made and starting to shift my mindset. I call it like a tiny little chiropractic shift where you had described earlier, where you're kind of on this plane and then you just a little bit, like think of how when we just change just ever so slightly, just one little degree, that puts us off on a trajectory years later that's so, it's a different place altogether. Right. And so how amazing is it when we start recognizing? So I'm so grateful for you to bring up these topics and recognizing, you know, this is really some of the hard work that we walk through when we're either learning how to be satisfied in our current position, talking about the vision that we want to be able to go forward, taking those hard steps, having that courage to be able to say, I just know I need to take one step forward on this journey. Yeah. So thank you so much. Would there be any maybe like last thoughts that you want to share with the audience as we just kind of wind down our time here about something in a way that you can encourage somebody, some ways that people can reach out to you?
Yeah. Yeah. Before that, I just have to pick up a couple of the things that you said, because this, I think it's a real challenge, especially when we're talking about high achievers, people that genuinely enjoy achievement for its own sake. I think the danger then is that the default, if we haven't checked ourselves, is to be in that state of achievement. And I do see this a lot in my clients. They will say things to me like, well, what's the point of that sort of just reflecting and celebrating my wins? Like, right. What's the point? Isn't that just self-indulgent? And I have to say to them, say, no, actually, first of all, there's some science behind why we need to take that time, right? There is a loop, a reflective loop that is going to really inform your next goals and your next steps. But also that dopamine release is a motivational tool that is going to really serve you. If you need me to put it into that language, because sometimes they need me to put it into the language of achievement. Whereas I've now reached a stage where I say, you know what, it's important just for its own sake as well. Yeah. But you know, that's definitely been a journey. And even now, sometimes I have to catch myself, because for a long time, I think I personally was in that sort of achievement mindset of like in the future. And when you realize that you're not in that anymore, every now and then you kind of catch yourself and you go, oh, wow, like I'm, you know, and so I think you're absolutely right to mention that piece. And the other bit I just wanted to say about the chiropractic shift, which I think is beautiful, is I talk about in my vision builder program, I kind of say, look, imagine a decade ago, if you'd put in some money in the S&P 500, it would have doubled, right?
Yeah.
And yes, it would have required a little bit of admin at the time, but then it would have just sat there and done its thing in its direction, you know? And okay, mm-hmm. Right, the stock markets can kind of change and things, but it's that idea that, it's like that idea, which probably leads to my wrap-up thoughts around taking that time to do. Sometimes it can be knotty work. It can be a bit, you know, difficult to do that work, but taking the time to do that will just adjust your course into mm-hmm. that right direction. Then you get to look back and go, I can't predict outcomes. I can't say when things go, but at least I can say that I did what I needed to do to get onto my true path. And I think that can feel really rewarding to know that we've done what we need to do and we don't have regrets around that. So In terms of kind of final thoughts for people, you know, I would just encourage people that if you've heard this and you thought, oh yeah, I might want to do some work on my vision, that take some time. Maybe you could go for a walk in nature and allow yourself to do more of that daydreaming where there isn't a clear plan, because this is a 10-year type of vision that we want to build. So you don't need to know the how. There's no pressure to act on this tomorrow. You know, even if I then did a one-to-one with somebody, we decide when they want to start taking action. They might need a period of some just peace and rest before they lean into that. There's no hurry here when we're talking about 10 years. But, you know, just to enjoy that process of going out and daydreaming, I would say would be a lovely first step. And then just on a practical note, I have an episode in my podcast called The 10 Game Changing Benefits of Vision Building for High Achievers. So if it is of interest to you, then maybe go and have a listen to that. And then you'll see that there's some other resources as well. So that's The Executive Coach Podcast.
If you want to go and have make sure and put a link in the show notes for everybody. And oh my gosh, this conversation, Maya, has been so amazing. I'm so grateful that you're here today to be able to share with me and with the audience just what you're walking through and how you support others and just this conversation for high achievers. I'm hopeful and grateful that it really helps somebody just kind of just shift their thinking just a little bit to see what's possible. So thank you so much for who you are and what you're doing.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate being able to come on here and be able to chat away to you as if we've known each other, you know, for a long time. So you've made it really easy to be able to come and have a great conversation. So thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So thank you, everybody. And we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode.
Thank you for joining us today on the Messy Middle Podcast. We hope this episode has inspired, encouraged, and equipped you to navigate the challenges of building a profitable business while balancing the demands of your work life, your faith, and motherhood. We would love to hear from you. Connect with us on LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, or at our website, therippleeffect.net, to share your thoughts, questions, or topics you'd like us to cover in future episodes. You can also find us at anitaanello.com. Until then, be well and know that we are cheering you on.